This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 91, and we're recording this one a little bit earlier. The actual date of this recording is the 23rd of December, Friday the 23rd, because we're going to be overlapping over Christmas. So we're going to record this now, give it to you, ladies and gents, and it's going to be going out around the 28th, I believe. And that's going to be our last Christmas one. So hence the reason why the lights are on in the background, for those that think I can't afford an electricity. But they are going to affect the actual video quality. So I'll leave them on for a few minutes. And then once Pete starts talking, I will switch them off because it'll mess up with the actual video quality. So here we are. There you go. There's the flashing bits there for you. For those that you know, epilepsy. Sorry for those ones. So we're recording this. It's 8 o'clock. I've been in Santa's grotto as one of Santa's little helpers today for the Memphis. So thanks everybody that's given to the Christmas list, which I think Liam put something out today. We've done just short of 1,198, so just short of 1,200 presents we've handed out, delivered and given out at the Santa's grotto. And I was there today in the grotto as an elf, obviously, not Santa. So but that all backed up and we're here late. Pete's been waiting around for about an hour for me to get back to do this. So here we are. And Pete's got his summer jumper on. No, winter jumper on. Is that a fleece?
This is actually a sort of sweatshirty thing, but I've got a normal shirt. I've got a polo shirt. I've got like a T-shirt.
I'm hearing my T-shirt.
Just thinking of people in the US with their bomb cyclone -57.
Oh my gosh,
that's bonkers. Oh, yeah,
and that's the country that's overloaded with people saying there's no such thing as climate change. Well, or presidents or prime ministers. Interesting times, right? So, folks, we're going to do something slightly different. The next podcast we do after this, Pete and I are going to do a recap of how the markets have finished for the whole year. So December 31 cutoff for the year. We're going to do a recap of the markets, how they've all done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What Pete and I are planning to do for this one, short and sweet, is talk about the charities, who's done what, how's done what. And then we're going to talk about a portfolio of 5 shares each, all of stocks we do not own. And Pete's going to have 5. I'm going to have 5. And we're going to run that as 2 portfolios competing against each other throughout 2023. Okay. So the idea that I've got here is that anybody that's listening to this podcast that wishes to join in, we can set up a sort of league table. Yeah. A Twin Peaks league table. You can choose 5 stocks, be as I don't know, aggressive as you want regarding small caps, or try not to lose any money if you want to go into large caps, which is what I've done here. Or you can speculate as much as you want. Choose the tiniest little stocks on AIM if you want to, and speculate accordingly. And if you win, you win. And at the end of the year, we might try and sort out a prize of some sort from somewhere for somebody. So all you've got to do is use your Twitter handle, send 5 stocks in. We'll sort it out and put it somewhere, and we'll go from there. Okay? So that's the idea we've got as a short and sweet sort of podcast tonight. And we'll do a proper recap and standard sort of hello and welcome to 2023 podcast, whatever the date is on the first podcast in 2023. So here's what we're going to do. So I'm going to just cover quickly where the market finished on Friday the 23rd. Okay. We've got the FTSE 100 closed plus 3 points at 7,473. The 52-week high up until this day, obviously we've got a few more full days and half days before we shot on December 31st. The high was 7672 for the FTSE. so far, and the low was 6826. FTSE All Share, 4,083. That's where it closed today. And the range for that was 3712 to 4296. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Other than that, I want to say a massive, massive shout out for all of you, ladies and gents, that gave us some fantastic feedback for us having a brilliant leader on the podcast with myself in podcast number 90, which we recorded just over a week and a half ago and went out early on the Thursday, a little while ago. Some of you were like, oh, what are you doing putting it out early? Because we're going to get to this point where everyone switches off regarding podcasts and listening to stuff and just should be spending quality time with the family. So that's why Pete and I are now doing this on the Friday rather than what would be the day after Boxing Day or the, I don't know, the 28th is a
middle of Christmas. Yeah, we would normally do it around then, wouldn't we?
Middle of Christmas. So I'm conscious that some people are going to be like, please turn off the lights that are flashing in the background. So I'm going to turn them off now. So just what that is for Dave Glass. He was asking whether or not I couldn't afford to put my electricity on. So for those that don't want any seizures while they're watching this on YouTube, I am now going to pull them off. Okay.
Yeah, what it was, Dave, he was worried about taking the power grid down with him, you know. Easily done.
So go on, Pete.
I just run through. So you probably know if you've listened to other podcasts, is that we support a charity every year, and we sort of say to listeners, if you want to help, you know, these podcasts go out for free. All the stuff we do is free to air. If you feel like you want to sort of pay something and whatever, brilliant, and pay it to the charity or buy me a beer when you see me when I'm better and able to drink. So we're doing this year, the Backup Trust is the charity we've been supporting. You can find them on justgiving.com/fundraising/TwinPeaks. If you go to my Wheelie Dealer 2 website, on the Twin Peaks podcast page, there is a link right at the top to that Just Giving page. Backup are a spinal injury charity who help with the whole, you know, the psychological side of having a spinal injury and sort of do mentoring, do a lot of work with kids and whatever, do a lot of good work for people who've just become wheelchair users and stuff. So it is really good. But also for people who are born with spine problems, there's a lot of that kind of thing. So anyway, so just looking at who's given us some donations recently, I've got to do a big shout out to ShearPad and ShareScope because they were absolutely brilliant. They really came through. They did as you know, they sponsor these podcasts, and they did like a survey, and for every person who responded, they put in a pound, I believe it was, and it ended up something like £830 that was raised for charity. So big thanks to ShearPad and ShareScope. We really appreciate you getting behind that. It was fantastic. So
brilliant. Yeah, they're absolutely smashed it with that.
You know, it's good that these companies are doing something in the communities and things. Right. So from Rob S, we've got a lovely, nice big donation there. Thanks, Pete, for another year of entertaining, insightful podcasts. Keep well and happy Christmas. Excellent stuff. Thanks, mate. Matthew Gray at BeerMatt31. My uncle was in a wheelchair all his life. I better take glass on. I can't see nothing. I need to do next year. The year after, I must do a charity for sight loss. Right. Mm-hmm. My uncle was in a wheelchair all his life. He was always a really jolly chap. Mm. Thank you for helping this cause and also for the hours of hard work that you put into this podcast. Thanks, Matt. It's brilliant.
Thank you, JW.
Nice donation there. Thanks, mate. Phil Ork. Thanks, guys, for another year. Brilliant podcast. Top banter, top guidance, number one podcast. Thanks again. Have a great Christmas. Well, mate, that's number one comment. So I'm well
happy. Yeah, love that.
And the reluctant investor, great work for a worthy cause. Another nice donation. Thanks for those guys. I'll leave it there.
Thank you, reluctant. Right, so I'm going to just get to my phone to get to this page here and talk to you about Memphis. As I said earlier, I was at the Grotto today. Absolutely phenomenal. And one of the stories, one of the ladies, I won't say the name of the young person, came, but she came back with her child, with sibling this time. And she was absolutely just overwhelmed with what happened last year. And this young boy was 4 last year when he came to the Grotto, and he hadn't spoken. And when he saw Santa and spent time in the Grotto, his first words were cheese, after the lady said, say cheese, as in taking a photograph. And he repeated that word back to her. And that was his first word he'd uttered since birth. And when he was going out, he said happy as he was going out. Wow. And the lady came back this time with her son, now 5, and his sibling, who was 4. And he was a little bit like, ooh, 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 you know, excited to go in because he was waiting his turn. And then once he got in and he saw all the lights and all the sensory stuff that was going on and all the stuff that that was put into this grotto, he was like, oh, and he's running, trying to run out. He's like, no, it's too much going on, too much going on. He wasn't talking, but that's what he's trying to get out of the grotto.
Yeah.
And then we got him all calmed down. And then he saw Santa and he just chilled. And then he got some toys, chilled. And him and his brother were just skipping around all the whole grotto. There's some stuff on Facebook. I'll have to find the Facebook page and put it into the link. It was just awesome, mate. Absolutely awesome. Brilliant. But that's the reason why I was late today.
That's a good reason to be late, isn't it, to do something.
Yeah, it's so important that we do what we do, Pete. And some of these kids, if they went to a normal grotto, they'd be in and out in 1 minute. And if the kids, because they're disabled or they've got autism or they've got a special needs, and they were not able to behave, to use that word, behave loosely.
Yeah.
In that 1 minute, they'll just be pulled out of the queue and be taken away again, and that's their day ruined. But we've got 15 minutes. I mean, some of the kids today we were with for half an hour. So the others that were waiting got backed up. And the ones that were coming in after those got backed up.
That's brilliant. Are you with me? That is brilliant.
So, we did what we did.
Yeah,
it's good. So the Memphis Christmas list raised $12,842. The target was 22 grand, 22 and a half. But obviously there's lots of difficulties that lots of other people have had. With raising monies and doing stuff, and people have got their own cost of living crisis going on. But I won't get into the details about how we've done it, but we've ended up commissioning, sorting out, and getting 1,198 presents that were given out, including what was given out in the grotto across the whole of Leicester, Rutland, and Leicestershire. And what I was asking over the past month or so, maybe a bit longer, was for anybody that wanted to also make a donation to the Memphis Christmas list to please do so. And I gave a shout out last time, and I'll do another one again, for Mike Ridyard, who also pushed it for us on via his followers. And that really gave us a really good boost over the last couple of weeks of him doing that. The last one I've got on here is from Robert S. So I think you mentioned Rob S. also gave on to your Memphis.
Thanks, Rob.
One.
Brilliant.
So, Rob, absolutely phenomenal of you, mate. Thank you ever so much. So, Rob S. says, thanks to Twin Peaks for another year of their entertaining and insightful podcast. Fantastic donation there of £50. Thank you, Rob. I'm not sure CT is ours. Phil Ork, you mentioned, also gave on the Memphis Christmas list as well.
Thanks,
TP guys. Podcast listener. Thanks, guys. And a little help towards the target. Happy Christmas, one and all. Lovely £25 of gift aid there from Phil Ork. So really, really appreciate it. Andy C. Did you mention Andy C as well, Pete?
I think I might have done. Tell me it was today, okay.
Andy C. Love the Twin Peaks podcast. Keep up the great work, Peter H. Thank you. £20 plus £5 gift aid.
Excellent.
We had an anonymous person gave an anonymous amount.
Yeah.
And then we had another anonymous person gave £10 and £5 gift aid. I'm not sure who Robinson is. Doesn't mention the podcast.
Thanks, Anonymous.
So Robinson. Roger Green, who I know gave a significant amount to the backup trust earlier on in the year. Roger gave a donation as well. Roger, thank you ever so much. Roger wrote, I hope that you reach your target. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Roger. I'm not sure David E's ours. Not sure if Chris H.M.'s ours. And I do know this chap is ours. This is at Electic Trends. And he gave a phenomenal £150 plus £37.50 gift aid, as recommended and highlighted by Peter Higgins. So thank you ever so much for that. He's on Twitter as well, at Electic.
Is that eclectic?
E-C-L-T-I-C Trends. Yeah.
Is it eclectic, as in EC?
You know what, Pete? It is eclectic. Yes. It's just my language. I'm useless at English, mate. You know, it's my second language. I can't help it but get read things wrong. Right. And hopefully that'll make everyone else chuckle as well, including eclectic.
I'm trying to think what it was, like electric or something.
No. Anyway. It's eclectic, mate. It's eclectic, yeah. Trends. But eclectic. You know me and my English skills, mate. Elocution lessons needed. All right. Michael T. Everyone knows Michael T. He was a guest on the show. I'm sure Michael's already given to the Memphis Trust. The backup trust already as well. He's given a nice chunky £50 in gift aid. Well done, chaps. Enjoy the banter. Keep making me laugh. Merry Christmas. Thank you ever so much, Michael. Really appreciate it, Michael T. Another anonymous donation. Michael Weil. W-E-I-L. Is that how you pronounce it, Pete?
W-E-I-L. Weil.
W-E-I-L.
Sorry, mate. We don't know.
Right. So Michael W.
Whoever you are.
Michael T. John W. John, thank you ever so much. Thanks for the Twin Peaks podcast and to Simon Cooper for stepping in at short notice and sharing enlightening insights. Yeah, that is to the brilliant leader, who was absolutely phenomenal. And the feedback we've had for that particular podcast has been off the charts. The number of people that have listened to the first clip that we saw with the brilliant leader, Simon, is going towards 6,000 that have watched that clip now. You know,
fantastic.
Absolutely awesome.
That's TPI 90 if you're
TPI 90. So if you've not watched that yet, please go back and listen to the brilliant leader. Jim Walsh, not sure what your Twitter handle is, mate, but thank
you. We know Jim. Yeah, that's
brilliant. So Jim donated £30 and £7.50 gift aid. Hi, Peter. Hope you're well. Thanks to both of you for all of your help over the years on the Twin Peaks. Best wishes, Jim Walsh. So he's wishing you all the best there, Pete. I'm not sure if Nicola is ours. Nicola donated £105. Keep up the good work and hope this helps spread the Christmas joy. And she's got a fox there, so she's obviously a Leicester fan. Paul Hunt, I think that's a pal of yours.
Paul Hunt. Good luck, Paul.
Paul donated £20. Thank you ever so much, Paul.
Nice one.
Thank you, fella. Another anonymous of £20 and £5 gift aid. Ben Burnett, who we know on Twitter. Yeah. Ben donated £50 and £12.50 gift aid. TPI awesome. Podcast listener, good cause. Keep up the good work. Don't think Sharon and Rob are ours. I know Scrumpy. I think we mentioned Scrumpy on the last one.
Yeah, we know Scrumpy. Yeah. Thanks, mate.
So we're up to date. So Scrumpy has donated quite a bit of money across both of these podcasts. So
brilliant.
It's brilliant. We've got a fantastic group of people listening to this podcast, and I can't say enough that I really appreciate that you guys have embraced the kindness that Pete and I are trying to show you, ladies and gents, by doing this podcast. You know, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of time taken to do it. We're trying to keep up with all the different feedbacks from everybody, trying to thank everybody for it. But it's also a lot of work in a sense of it's not just Pete turning up or me just turning up, recording this and it goes out. There's a lot of work in the background that people don't see that's going on. So, you know, we just want you guys to appreciate that. And if you do appreciate it and you've listened to one podcast that you've liked, to reshare it, tweet it, reshare it elsewhere, you know, retweet it, sign up on YouTube if you can.
Yeah.
But more importantly, the thing that we want you to do the most is if we're backing a charity and supporting a charity and you enjoy the podcast, just donate a fiver. You know, if every 2,500 people that listen to this podcast on a regular basis just donated a fiver once a year, that'd be 10 grand we could give a charity. And 10 grand in this era right now might as well be 20 grand because these charities are stony broke, most of them. Yeah. So we've still got a few more days left of this particular year. Make a donation if you can when you listen to this podcast. We'll have a fresh charity going into 2023, and we're going to push on again to try and raise some money again for that charity. So thank you ever so much, everyone. Bless you all.
Hey, you mentioned there the YouTube thing. Can people, if they get a chance, please just sign up as a subscriber on YouTube to the Conker's Corner channel? Because if you do that, it will help us get to 1,000. Once we get to 1,000, YouTube will promote our podcast more. And obviously, we want to try and spread the word. So that'd be great if you can. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully, we're going to shake things up next year a little bit as well. So keep you posted on that. And it's brilliant that people are embracing the YouTube channel, because Pete and I haven't got we've got faces for radio, as you can tell. So, but it's good because it's a larger global audience, YouTube, as everyone knows, and everyone goes onto YouTube occasionally to look at something. So even if you don't listen to us on the YouTube channel, you prefer to listen to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, whatever, please just subscribe to that channel anyway, and that will help us get further reach and hopefully get better guests. You know, or better hosts. You know, you can get somebody else in to do the job, and I can have some time to myself. Although I'm sure the bosses will take over. Right. So this segment now, what we're going to do is Pete's going to talk about share. I'm going to talk about share. We're going to end up with five, and that's going to be our portfolio for the year. And as I said, when Pete puts a tweet out regarding this podcast or after the 28th, if you're replying to Pete or replying to me and you want to join in, select five stocks, funds, whatever you want to do, and just say this is for the Twin Peaks stocks challenge. Is that what we want to call it, Pete? What do you want to call it?
I don't know. Twin Peaks.
We'll come up with a name. The Twin Peaks investing portfolio competition, whatever, something like that. Might be a bit too big in the tongue, that one. But just send us five stocks and five ideas. Pete, do you want to start with your first one?
Yeah, what I'll do, just a quick bit of scene setting. So,
okay, go on.
Obviously, you can pick, you know.
Sorry, let me interrupt you. Is this you being very competitive, setting the scene?
I'm on it, mate. I'm on it. Don't you worry.
Oh, gosh.
I've been revving me engine a treat. Right, yeah. So, you know, you could just, like, pick five stocks and whatever. But I thought, you know, seeing as this is going to be done over the whole year, mm-hmm. and seeing as 2023, I don't think it's going to be a vintage year for investing. I think there's a good chance it will be better than 2022, but I don't think it's going to be anything special. So I think, you know, I'm trying to be a bit portfolio about it. So I have something that's a bit exciting, something that's a bit more, well, I'm thinking dividends. You know, I think dividends would be a good idea. And I've tried to spread it over sectors. So I've got, like, sort of five stocks and five sectors to try and spread me risk.
You've got too much time on your hands, mate. Oh, I've literally spent about half an hour on my
way. It's all my time in A&E. You know, I've got nothing else to think about. Because I'll be in there about 11 hours.
Come on.
Yeah, so that was my sort of reasoning. What I actually did was I looked through my little black book where I put down ideas in.
I went
through there and I thought, well, you know, what is there? And I actually came up with seven stocks, and then I sort of looked at them and I've kicked out Ramsden's RFX, but I think that's a really interesting stock. And I've also kicked out another one. No, Record, REC.
Yeah.
Again, another interesting stock, nice dividend, but I just thought they don't fit with what I want to do. So
Simon mentioned them last week, actually, last podcast.
Did he? Oh, yeah. So I'll tell you about one that I have decided on. I wanted a bit of spice in the portfolio. So I thought an exciting tech one that's in a horrible chart as we speak. So I'm going to be getting off to a bad start.
I've got a horrible feeling that you and I might pick a stock what we each pick. Oh, I hope not.
There's a real risk of this. There's a real risk of this, mate. We could,
go on.
We could end up with five stocks the same.
I hope not.
Right. My first one is Audio Boom. When I looked last night, they were £4.25, forward PE of 23, dropping to 14.4 the next year, no dividend. CEO Michael Tobin just keeps buying shares in them. They were the subject of a takeover offer about 6 months ago or something, and it didn't happen. But we know through doing podcasts and stuff that the whole podcast thing is an expanding market. Audio Boom had a lot of difficulties some time ago, but they seem to be very different these days. I think that could be a good one.
Like it.
Like it,
mate. That's a good start, that is. I like that, Pete. I'm not going to set any scenes here at all. This is just me plucking. I did say plucking. Five stocks out of the air that I think are underappreciated. Two of them are behemoths. And as soon as I say the name, you'll know why I've picked it. But they've struggled year to date. And the first one, I think, could be remedied quite easily by the CEO, who everyone knows, just getting his head back into the game regarding focusing on his largest wealth generator at the moment. But he's distracted. Why is he distracted? Because he recently bought Twitter. Right. So what am I talking about? I am talking about Tesla.
Whoa.
Yeah. Ticker symbol, $TSLA. So I'm talking about Tesla because at the time of me grabbing this yesterday, in the midst of rushing around doing everything else, the stock is, I've just grabbed the date, the thing for it earlier on this evening or an hour or so ago. And the stock was trading at the time. So I've grabbed the share price as it is now. And it's at 124.62. Yeah. And it's down 65% of the year. 65%. This was the go-to stock in 2021 that everybody wanted. 2020, 2021. Everyone was trying to short it. I'm shorting it. Everyone shorted it at the wrong time. It just carried on going up. And since it's been declining, that 65%, I've not heard anyone shorting it. It's like, well, why don't you short it now? So I think everyone knows what Tesla does. But it's also involved in the power pack, power wall, the mega pack, lithium ion battery storage products. Not many people talk about that. That's another side of what it does. So, yeah, I think regarding the growth of electric vehicles, and I'm not sure what quite the figures are. Someone will be able to tell me. Tesla at the moment outsell most other electric cars. There's a number.
Oh, you do,
as to what the ratio is, but I'm not going to go that deep into it. So my first idea is Tesla. The 52-week low for the share price was hit today at $121.02. The high is $402.67, achieved on January the 4th. Right, so bear that in mind. If we have a reversal of that and we go even halfway to $200 a share, that's a 70-ish percent increase. Could it do $200 a share if the markets receive, you know, Elon Musk and he behaves himself and he comes out with, I've sold loads of electric vehicles? I think we could see $200 a share. If he absolutely comes out in the first quarter in January, I think it's around January the 25th, and says, uh-oh, this share will be sub 100 in a heartbeat. So, yeah, research idea and part of my portfolio five. Pete, go.
That's a punchy one. Let's just say that. I think
I'm a contrarian, Pete.
I think you're taking on a lot of competition risk, obviously, with competitors all
absolutely
coming in.
Absolutely.
But I think the other thing is, it's the CEO is a loose cannon. I mean, yeah. Who knows? Right.
Sorry, Pete, one last thing. The market cap's currently $395 billion, right? Times that by three, you've got a $1.2 trillion stock. He's got most of his wealth tied up in Tesla. He's lost all that wealth in Tesla by being distracted.
Wow. But even now, that is a monster valuation, isn't it? Whoa.
Yeah, right. The PE is 38, still high.
Yeah, yeah. How, mate, can you see the market cap of Ford there very easily? Just out of interest, I think.
Let me just have a quick look.
I think it's F, isn't it, or something? Yeah, Ford Motor.
Yeah, it's just F. It's just F.
Yeah, I'm on it now, I think.
Are you on it?
I think I am. I might. Yeah, I am.
You're on it. Okay, I'll leave it with you.
Yeah. Oh, God, this is hard to work out. 4.5, it's got,
yeah,
it's too many noughts. It's got 4.5, 471, 788, 260. I've no idea what that is. That can't be 45471 billion, can it? No, it's 40. That's 45 billion.
Is it only 45 billion?
I think that's 45 billion, mate. People can look it
I'll
up.
While you're talking about your other one, I'll find it. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm struggling with the maths of that, mate. I don't do any numbers bigger than 1,000.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Right. So next one then. This is where I've gone for the cheeky big dividend on the sort of hope that if all my others fail, at least I'm going to get a big dividend coming into my portfolio. So this is good old Legal and General, LGEN. Everyone knows Legal and General, big life insurance company. It also does other insurance, does a lot of stuff in, buying in pension liabilities and taking control of company pension funds and stuff. That's been something that's been doing a lot of. Really good results. I think it looks very cheap. I think it's really good value. It is one of the stocks I considered when I did a list of income stocks, which is on my TikTok videos.
Okay.
But I didn't choose that one. I chose another one that's similar, but I haven't bought it yet. But LGEN, very similar. So yeah, I think that's got a good chance of it won't be amazing. It won't give you loads of capital gain, but you should get a nice chunky dividend. Well, it's actually saying the share pad has forward dividends 7.8% rising to 8.2. Yeah. I mean,
I do hold that in my income portfolio, Pete. So
there
you
go.
So that's an interesting one you're picking there. It's had a bit of a year of it, so we'll see what the score is. Let me just find this. I'm just trying to find the market cap for Ford, Pete, for you.
Yeah, I think the risks, one of the big risks around Legal and General is that in the past, I've often noticed that these life insurance stocks and that are quite a proxy for the market. So if the market does badly, they'll probably do badly. But then, like I said, as part of a portfolio of five, it probably makes sense. May not make sense if you only owned Legal and General, it'd probably be a bit silly. But
as a
group of five.
So market cap of Ford is 45.47 billion. So 45.5 billion compared to 395. And previously, almost on the cusp of 1.5 trillion.
Just scary, isn't it?
Way overvalued. Mate, way overvalued, Tesla was.
Remember,
it's still probably way overvalued, to be fair.
Well, remember Ford had the most popular truck in America with the F-150. That's now the F-150 Lightning or whatever they call it.
Absolutely, so, absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Are you reckon for my second one now?
Go for it, man.
Okay. Okay, guys, ladies, gents, I've picked another behemoth stock here. And with a market cap, Pete, of $2.1 trillion. Who am I talking about?
$2.1 trillion?
Yep.
Mate, you said dollars, is it like Exxon or something like that?
No. One more guess. Come on, mate. Come on. There's not many $2 trillion companies out there.
Apple.
Bingo.
Apple.
Right. Doesn't fall far from the tree. Apple.
Apple.
iPhones, Mac, iPads, Apple TV, Apple Watch, Beats products, Apple Pay, Apple Card, Apple Care. You name it, all over it, right?
Toffee
shares
apples.
Currently down.
They do toffee apples.
And they do toffee apples. Yeah, I love it. And apple pies as well.
Cider. So they should do cider. Share, anyway, love it.
Share price is down 25%. Current, when I finally got the final numbers here, was at $131.23 per share. The low was achieved in June of 129, so it's not far off its 52-week low, and it's at 131 compared to 129, a high of 182. So I'm not going to go into too much detail this one. PE of 21.6, tiny little yield of 0.7. Obviously, everyone knows that Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, has got a shed load of Apple shares as well. So that's the reason why I bought that one. I just think maybe next year they'll get as many chips as they need into their products. they'll release some new products. I think that can move 20%, 25% at least if it does some good stuff. Any sort of problems in China or any sort of problems with sales, again, that's down another 10, 20% next year as well if we have a really difficult year. Yeah, so two behemoths.
Are they doing buybacks and stuff still, do you know?
Not currently, as far as I'm aware, Pete. Not as far as I'm aware. But I, like I said, I grabbed these in half an hour yesterday. So I'm not going into masses and masses of detail. So another research idea there. So Tesla and Apple from me so far. And that those two are two of my portfolios at the minute.
Right. You know, I said I was thinking in a sort of sectory way as well. So yeah. I was thinking what sectors are likely to do well. And one that stood out to me was defense. It's sad to say it, but I think defense is going to be good again, partly because I was listening to something yesterday that was saying that the West has used up, particularly America and the British and whatever, have used up a lot of their stockpiles of missiles and things. And it's almost getting to the point, and their artillery shells and what, you know, all their stuff. It's almost getting to the point where we're going to start eating into the stock of armaments that we have to defend ourselves because we're giving it all to Ukraine. Now, that's obviously not a situation that can carry on. So it's pretty obvious a lot of restocking is going to be needed, and they're basically going to be pumping stuff out as fast as they can. So I almost think you could buy anything in the defense sector and you'd probably make money. But I looked at Quinetic QQ, but didn't go for that. I also considered Chemring. That's the one I've actually chosen Chemring. CHG. The other one I looked at was or thought about was Cohort. Is it CHRT?
So I've decided.
I mean, I've looked at them all. I thought about it. Chemring, CHG, do a lot of these sort of like countermeasures stuff and things like that. They're using a lot of that kind of pyrotechnics and whatever. So I figured that might be a good one to go for. So, I mean, in my normal portfolio, I hold BAE Systems. And right. I think if you want a pretty safe, solid defense play, and one that, I mean, it hit a new 52-week high yesterday and pulled back slightly today. So it's been a phenomenal stop this year. From what's that? Phenomenal? Phenomenon? As bad as you.
You're catching my linguistics, mate. Oh, sorry.
It's an electric phenomenal. Anyway. Yeah,
phenomenal. Even I can say that, Pete. Come on.
Oh, mate. it's like the Muppets Christmas show.
Yeah. So what's the PE? Is there a yield on that, Pete? Anything?
So forward PE 15.5 dropping to 15.1. Forward divvy 2.3% rising to 2.6. Nothing special, but pays a sort of okay dividend. And I think it'd be all right, that.
Cool. I like the sound of that one. And yeah, defense, like you're saying.
Potential takeover targets.
Potential takeover target. Yeah, like that one. Okie dokie. Right. Are you ready for this one, Pete?
Go on then, man.
Yeah. It's in insurance, and when you see it, you have to salute. What's it called?
Admiral.
Boom.
Oh, I'm in there.
There you go. So I've chosen this one. It's a stock that I've always liked. I thought it was a little bit overvalued the early part of last year. I might end up buying it eventually. Yeah, I missed the opportunity when it was near it and sub £18 of my area of, I'll have some of that. And I saw something better at the time and it went down to below 17 in July, in the summer of this year. The high for Admiral is £33. So that's why I had my 18 sort of figure way down there going, if it ever gets that cheap, I'm having some of that. I didn't. The share price currently, as a close of today, £21.06. PE of 15.9 and a nice juicy yield of 4.1. What do? They're basically a financial services company, offers insurance products, including motor, household, pets, personal lending products as well, Admiral Loans. Yeah, car finance. They're involved in lots of different things like that. And the reason why I like this one, they've got compare.com, but they've also got a US business that they've been nurturing over the last couple of years. So that gives them a little bit of FX sort of edge, a little small edge. And they get some revenues in dollars that way. But yeah, the big chunky company, did I write the market cap down? Yes, market cap of 6.29. So again, I've gone to the further quality end of the market. I've not gone for any small caps. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that are aware of who Admiral are. They've been around for a little while. And again, I picked this is my third stock. And this again has had a dreadful year. Over the past 12 months, it's down 32%. So even if it gets back to £25 from here, that's 20% increase. Just a standard sort of year where it doesn't fall. It markets like what they do. Could it do 20% next year? Easy. If they come out and warn, bosh, sub 20 quid, easy. And if it goes to 18 quid, I'll have to admit, I'll probably be buying it myself. Right, any thoughts on that one, Pete?
Well, funnily enough, I actually bought that recently myself, and it's in my income portfolio.
Oh, when did you buy that one then?
I bought it about 2 weeks ago. And mate, on TikTok, on my Wheelie Dealer 2 TikTok account, I've done a video on it, and it is my most watched TikTok video with over 5,500 views. Now, I've no
because
idea.
Everyone in the Navy thinks you're talking about the Navy, mate. Talking about admirals.
I can't believe it. I'm like all my other videos get about 4 views. This one's got 5,500. It's like, what?
Did you have a little Johnny Crockett hat on or something? A little parrot on your shoulder?
Yeah, everyone's laughing at him. That's why.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, wait, so that's my third one.
On the yield, looking at SharePad, they've got down forecast yield 8%. 2-year forecast yield 6.2. So falling down. For the second year.
Okay, still... I had the yield at 4%. I got it off the FT, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, no worries. But okay. The interesting thing with Admiral and the reason that I bought it is that the insurance industry is very cyclical. And what has happened to them just recently is that they obviously took the premiums, you know, the yearly insurance amount you pay, they took that like, you know, earlier in the year or whatever. And the problem is, so that didn't have too much of an inflation element in it, but the costs they're getting for buying, you know, for replacement cars, for parts for cars, for rebuilding the cars, paintwork, whatever, all the costs have rocketed up. So what's going to happen is insurance premiums are going to jump up. So we'll all be paying higher insurance next time around.
Yes.
But that is the cyclical catch up of the way their costs and stuff work. They've also got an operation in Germany. So I think it's really interesting one, that one.
Okie dokie. I think next time we do this, we've got to make sure that you don't own the stocks that I'm picking, yeah?
Well,
and vice versa.
It's going to happen, mate. Yeah? It's just random how it goes, isn't it?
Right. So, sorry, it's your one. Is it your go?
Yeah.
I've just done Admiral. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. My next one, again, thinking in a sector kind of way, I sort of thought, I don't really want anything too consumery. I think the consumer is going to be tapped out. And unless you can buy Aldi and Lidl, which you can't because they're private companies, you know, what else are you going to buy? There's Up Global Sourcing, UPGS, but I haven't put that on my list. Anyway, so what I thought was, I don't really want a big, boring supermarket because I've already done big and boring. What I've gone for is Kitwave, KITW. And my thinking there with Kitwave is that, I mean, valuation-wise, it looks cheap. It's on a forward at 192 pence last night. So a forward PE of 8.9 falling to 7.4. Has got a bit of debt, but I'll go on to that in a second. Forward dividend, 4.8%, rising to 5.7%. So even if the capital does nothing, I hopefully will pick up a decent chunky divvy on it. The thing is, Kitwave are like a supplier to like all the little spa shops and 7-Elevens and, you know, whatever they're called these days, they're the little shops.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of a play on groceries and stuff like that. So it's got that sort of repeat business kind of stability and repeat cash flows coming in, which is where the debt is perhaps less of an issue than it would be on some other companies, because they've got this constant, you know, prediction of cash coming in kind of thing. So, okay. Yeah, I think that might be right. What do you reckon, Kitwave, mate?
Yeah, I don't really know much about it. I think you've mentioned it one time in the past on the podcast. So, yeah, it seems it sounds interesting. And like you say, it might have some resilience in what could be difficult markets next year. So that makes sense. What sort of market cap is that one, Pete?
I don't think it's very big. Hang on 2 seconds and I will have a figure for you.
Okay.
KITW, slam it in, hit the button. £134 million.
Right. Okay. It's quite a small one. Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully that might have a chance of making sort of 20% on the capital as well as getting that nice dividend.
Okie dokie.
And the markets are rubbish, it might hold up quite well.
Okie dokie. Right. I'm going to pick one I used to hold. And I do know that Pete owns this one. And it is one I've got my eye on to repurchase. So we'll see where this one.
Bango.
No go. No, it's not.
Oh,
right.
Really?
There is a fly in the ointment with this one. And the reason why I sold it. So I'm going to say this and people know instantly what it is. So earlier on this month, on the 7th-ish, I think it was, of December, there were some lawsuits thrown out related to Zantac. Yeah. So the federal judge in Florida ruled out some claims against the company and found that the information was not sound for this company. Who am I talking about, Pete?
Glaxo, GSK.
GSK.
So you could have been sneaky there and you could have said, no, Haleon.
No. It is GSK. It is GSK. I used to hold it. When the litigation came out again earlier on this year, middle of this year, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to sit around and wait for all that noise. So I got out of the stock. It's still not above where I sold it. I've got my eye on it. Went below went to £12.80 in September when all the litigation stuff was bubbling around. I sold out 15 odd. It went down to where I'd bought near or thereabouts where I bought it originally. So I got the yield over the period of time I'd held it, and it's bounced from sub 313 in September back up to 14.5, which is where it's at today, 14.52. PE is 14.67. Yield, I've got it at 6.8 from the FT. And Pete, what I'm interested in here, because I had Haleon and I had GSK, and I got rid of both of them when this thing kicked off regarding the litigation. And they dumped £10 billion worth of debt onto Haleon. So I think, given the fact they've made a bit of money off IPOing their share of Haleon and put debt on Haleon, I think it makes a more streamlined business. And I think there is a possibility that if they don't sort this out this year, they could even get bid for, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't put down the market cap. I maybe should have put the market cap down, but you can tell me that in a second. So I think there's an outside chance of a takeover. And I think it's very lowly priced right now because of this overhanging issue regarding the Zantac stuff. And the fact they offloaded Haleon. So I think it leaves them vulnerable. I think they could have a good year. If things go right for them, then they could do well. So I'm looking for that one to be back up above 16, 17. And if it does that, that's another 20% on that particular share, which it could do quite easily. Any noise about Zantac and any sort of litigation or any failed major sort of, you know, global sort of blockbusters failing, then we're back down to 12, 13 quid in a heartbeat. So, yeah, that's my third one. You're obviously biased, Pete, because you still hold it. I only held it recently, so I'm still quite positive on the stock. Is there any bearish points you've got to make on that, on GSK? Anything you're worried about?
I think it's more around, you know, what you've really said, that I think it's got that advantage of being quite solid again. You know, it's again, like, if 2023 is going to be a fairly difficult year, and I think it's a reasonable assumption to say that, then, you know, I think it makes sense to have this kind of solidity and stuff. And I think Glaxo's one of those where if the markets are really bad, it's not going to lose you much. And I mean, just on the dividend, SharePad is showing four cash yield 4.1%, but then strangely falling to 3.9%. So that doesn't quite make sense. There's something doesn't add up there. But still, we're talking around 4% dividend, which is okay. The market cap is 59 billion. So, you know, that's not too big to be not a takeover target, but it's obviously damn chunky. No, I hold it. You know, it's not the most exciting thing on earth. I think with Zantac, it looks like a lot of the problems with that have been quashed. I think, I think it's getting harder for the lawsuits against Zantac to have any success. So I think the picture's looking quite good on that.
Yeah, so that's the reason why I picked that. Again, it's got a yield. It's quite a solid company. I've tried to pick solid companies here because I don't want to see the portfolio down 50% by July, because we're not going to be able to change these picks. So I've chosen stocks which I think could, with a fair, with a reasonable wind, do okay and not be too speculative. So that's why I've chosen GSK, which, again, it might be, if it has a poor first quarter and it dips below or around 13 quid, it might be want to buy it back again. But I'll be keeping an eye on any more lawsuits being pushed.
Yeah, funny, looking at the four stocks you've picked so far, Tesla, Apple, Admiral, Glaxo, you know, you're a bit similar to me in the sense you have got something exciting because you've got Tesla there. You know, Tesla could make you 50, 60%. You know what I mean? If things go well, it could be a real big winner for you. Apple could do all right. Admiral, I think, can make you, you know, 20, 25% with the dividend. Glaxo's not going to lose much. It gives you that defensive quality. So I think, you know, your squad's looking pretty good, mate, there. And no doubt you've got a cracker for number five.
I've got a cracker for number five. It's only down 10% GSK year to date. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, so I've tried to pick ones that are not too speculative, Pete. I think, if I'm honest, I'm the one that gives me the heebie-jeebies is Tesla, because if he comes out, you know, being silly, playing silly buggers, or if they warn, or if there's a massive recall on Tesla cars, that'll be sub $100 in a heartbeat. You know, the shorters will just pile in. So the others, I'm reasonable. I'm happy with Admiral. I'm happy with Apple. Happy with GSK. I've got one more left after that.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to SharePad today using the TWINPEETS promo code and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Cool. Well, I'll do my number five.
Go for it.
So far I've picked, what have I picked so far? Audio Boom. Legal & General.
Legal & General. Chemring.
Chemring and Kitwave.
Yeah, and Kitwave. So what's your number five? What's your five-star
pick?
Yep.
Now, this is quite a, I mean, in a way, I've created the world's most depressing portfolio because, you know, I just thinking safety and thinking problems and thinking wars and defense and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, mate, that's not a bad strategy. You've got to think, this is what people miss sometimes. Think about what's going on in the rest of the world, not just what's happening for that company. What could impact it?
You've got to think about these things. The big
picture. Macroeconomics, mate.
Well, the big picture on this one, it's a really sad one. It's Begbie's trainer, BEG.
You're looking at all the litigation problems coming ahead, yeah? All the companies going out of business.
Beggar, a company that's specialising in insolvency and administrations. And I hate to say it, but I think they're going to have a brilliant year.
Yeah.
It's just,
and that's just them trying to deal with all the ones coming from the UK government, yeah?
They are pretty much UK focused, but they're going to be extremely busy, I think. And
it's a good call.
In terms of the rating, I mean, I think it's done quite well this year anyway. But in terms of last night, 142 pence, that it was on a forward PE of 14.5, dropping to 13.9. Forward dividend 2.6%, rising to 3%. It's a reasonable dividend. I don't think that's a high PE rating for what you're getting. I think that could easily get you 20, 25, 30, 40% upside. And let's be honest, if things are really bad, things are really going to be good for them. So, yeah, depressing, isn't it, really?
It's depressing, but I'm always intrigued by Begbie because I've got another one in that sector, which is litigation lit, ticker symbol lit. And they don't seem to do anything. It's like, how comes in this current climate where companies are going out of business left, right, centre, how comes you can't make any money?
Will
that happen in 2023? It could well be the trigger. I don't know.
I think they're a bit different. I mean,
they're slightly different. I'm not saying they're completely the same, but there's some overlaps somewhere. Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So my final one, and then we're going to talk about some of the feedback we've had for the Brilliant Leader and some of the little bits and pieces. Right. Right. This I'm going to give you a couple of guesses, Pete. Give you some clues. Okay. It's a United Kingdom-based packaging and paper company. Shout out name when you're ready. Pulp. Producing pulp, paper, film, developing, manufacturing, effective industrial consumer packaging solutions, Peter. Any clues?
Well, I'll tell you what. If I was looking at that sector, I'd be buying SMDS.
I already own that one, Peter.
DS Smith.
So I couldn't choose it.
So
okay. It's the share price is down 21% to the year.
Right.
Any more clues?
How about, is it quite a small one or is it a big?
So it's a medium-sized one, Pete. It's around the same size as Smith's.
Okay. I'm not sure of the size, but I think it might be McFarlane, M-A-C-F.
That's tiny. It is Mondi.
Too small.
It's Mondi. Peter, it's Mondi.
Ah, M-N-D-I. Yeah.
M-N-D-I. And
you know,
Mondi
I
tried.
That was bigger, or were, so,
yeah, it's much bigger than McFarlane.
Yeah.
And Mondi at one stage was toying with the idea of buying Smiths. And my reasoning for choosing them is that I've already got Smiths.
Yeah.
But I think because they went after Smiths, it made it look like they were in the market to enlarge.
Yeah.
Why do companies want to enlarge? Sometimes it's about the fact that they're looking to grow their group, and their footprint. But what if another company sees them as vulnerable because they wanted to buy Smiths and buys them?
Yeah. Possible, isn't it?
So you've got a PE of 7.8p. Might say something slightly different on SharePad.
That's cheap, isn't it? I mean, that's low.
Yield of 4. Yeah.
Good yield.
52-week low at 12.33, achieved in March of last year. The high was achieved a month earlier. Of 19.53. So I'm not sure what happened there because I've not researched it enough. But was there a warning from February and March? Was there a warning from Monday? I'm not sure what was going on there. Or was that the time when all the price pressures were being caused and everyone said that increase of capex and heating and electricity was affecting them? I don't know. But the share price went from the 21st of Feb, 19.5 quid. By the 7th of March, right? Less than 2 weeks later, it was at 12.5 quid. Bosh, I think that was a bargain. Paper company packaging. Everyone's buying e-commerce this Christmas. Everything's being packaged and posted to people. That's their game. That's what they're into. Lots of packaging. Everything's being recycled as well. So that's the one I've put there. Share price £14.18, and down 21% year to date. That's my star five for the competition.
Cool. That's an interesting one.
Do you like that one?
Yeah, do you know, it's an interesting one. I like it in the sense that I like the sector and I like the valuation and stuff. Like I said to you, if I was choosing, I'd go for SMDS, which you've got anyway. But yeah, looking at SharePad, you're talking about forward yield 5%, and then 2-year forward yield 4.9. So again, we're seeing a lot of these anomalies. I mean, it could just be that the analysts have actually got the forecast wrong. You know, they're being too pessimistic. So, you know, it's an interesting, I'm seeing it with a lot of PE ratings and, you know, forward PE ratings and forward dividends, you know, where I sort of think the analysts could have this wrong, which gives you opportunity, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay. If it's wrong, I mean, it could be wrong. They could be too optimistic. But I think I'm seeing quite a few where they seem a bit low. So just something to be aware of with when you're looking at these kind of things.
This goes back to what we keep saying, Pete, though. If you've built up your bank of knowledge on that stock and it's now at bargain basement, if you can read and research this particular stock and are brave enough to come out of cash or come out of some of your cash and go, you know what, I'm going to buy this for 2023, latter part of 23 to 24, 25. I think this is going to do well over the course of 2 years, 3 years. If you've got a stock here at 14 quid and you think in 2 years' time it's going to be 28 quid, yeah, that's 100% over 2 years. Who would not take that this year?
Well, you know what I mean? You'd be well happy, yeah.
Yeah.
And exactly. So
that's my thinking. I've been screwing some money into some stocks and, you know, I'm hoping that 2023 is not horrible. And if it is, I'll take some money off the table again. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, mate, on Mondi, I think it's like South African headquartered or something. Isn't there some connection?
I'm going to be honest, I've not researched it enough to tell you where the HQ is.
Not a problem.
Why does that concern you?
No, it's just an observation more than anything.
Oh, okay.
But the other thing is I've got a feeling they operate in quite a few countries, don't they?
In a few different countries, yeah. But it's a UK-based packaging company. I'm not sure if the HQ would be in South Africa, if that's the case.
Maybe there's a South African family or something. I think there's a South African link, but it's not a bad thing. I just think it's just an observation on it, really.
Yeah, so that's my five. I want to spend a few minutes, Pete, just going through some of the feedback we've had for Brilliant Leader, and then we'll just have a little chit-chat for a few minutes, and then we'll keep this one short and sweet.
Yeah.
So what we've got here, just find some of the feedback for Brilliant Leader who pops his head in and really just saved the day for the podcast what we had for number 90. So I think Jean Black was speaking to you, Pete, about something.
Hi, Jean.
And at Jean Black, Jean, a regular listener, so thank you for continued support, Jean, for this. And she wrote, she was talking about SQS at the time, the conversation, and said, hope so. Listen to the podcast. Very interesting, especially the insight into Simon's approach to investing, although something was missing. Hope you will soon be well enough to take part. See, Pete, you were missed, mate. You were missed.
Excellent.
We also had some feedback from, what's his name? Matt McKiernan.
McKiernan. Oh, we know Matt. We know Matt.
At Music Film Shares.
Yes, we know Matt well. Hi, Matt.
Yeah. So just got round to listening to this. Very informative. Thanks to you and also Conkers and Wheelie Dealer for the effort you put in. So he was replying to... Oh, sorry. That was about the Secret Accountants one. He belatedly watched it. And sorry, that's right. Just got round to watching it. That was in 6. So P.S., I think getting Mike Regan on a future episode for his investment trust highlights would be a bonus. So I'm going to reach out to Mike Ridyard and see if he'll come on the show. He's a bit secretive about Michael. He's got his account so that people can't. He wants to just put stuff out and not need to get into debate. So I'm not sure he'll be up for that. So we will see. We had some feedback from our good friend Battlebus. I need to talk about something to do with Battlebus as well. I'll just write that down. That's pricked my memory bank. So really good episode with an excellent contribution for Simon, aka Brilliant Leader. Loved his sensible approach to investing. Thanks to him for his step-by-step explanation of what formulation he looks for in a stock. All the best to WD. Get well soon. There you go, CP.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, BB.
Yeah, they're all thinking about you, mate. They're wondering where you are. Yeah? All missing you. Right, okay. I'll do one more and then I'll get into this last one. Thanks, Simon, for being so open and sharing your experience. Always interesting to listen to private investors. On AGFX, Agentex, I could not understand the cash flow, especially the working capital movement. So I sold my position. Very interesting conversation regarding K3C. Now,
who was that
go
from?
Back and talk. That was from, oh, I didn't say. Ali Shafri at Ali. Cap underscore Avi. Yeah. And I'm going to be speaking with Ali as well at some point. I'm going to try and get him to come and have a chat with us.
Cool.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. A stock today, I haven't checked how far it actually finished going up, but MSI International, Pete, on thing. It came out with some more news today.
Yeah.
And when I've been out all afternoon. So it was up at one stage, 40 odd percent. I'm not sure if you can find out where it finished. But one of the first people on Twitter.
Mate,
don't tell me. I mean, don't tell me just yet. One of the first people that were on Twitter talking about MSI was Battlebus at Battlebus 141.
Yeah.
And Battlebus was in that stock at £1.20. And recently added again at £3.30. And today at one stage, it was up 40-odd percent. How much did it finish up today?
Mate, you ready?
50%, 60%?
Up 51%.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's now £7.10. Well done, BB.
£7.10. So £7.10 for £1.20. That's a five bagger plus on the way to being a six bagger, and he added up some more at 3:30. I'm sure we're going to see lots of other people coming out today or whatever or next week, telling us they bought next week, last week. But just ignore them people. We get these fantasy people who come out and say, "Oh, I've got this stock." It's like you've never mentioned it before. You haven't mentioned it before. Don't mention it now that it's popped 50%, folks. It just makes you look silly. So congratulations to him.
Well
and
done.
Also, Pat Vieira. What's his Twitter handle? Pat Vieira. At Pat Vieira was another one that was very, very early into MSI as well. So congratulations to both of those individuals that got a fight. I mean, talk about Christmas coming early. It's not a takeover. Just won a big contract and a 51% move. Oh, my gosh.
And do you
anyone holding MSI, Merry Christmas to you. I put the lights on back for you guys, for the MSI people. Yeah. And anyone that's finished the year, when you're listening to this, we would have gone Christmas. You'll be listening to it into the new year. If you finished the year flat or up, huge congratulations to you, because the markets have been absolutely horrible. Yeah. So, Kudos to you guys.
Mate,
there was a
MSI. Sorry. The news today was about a new gun design they've got or whatever. And they've got an order for it, but we're back to the theme of defense. Funny thing with MSI, and the thing that's always sort of held me back from investing in it, I think the positive is I think there's quite a family link to it. And often these businesses with families that are quite well run. But the thing that's always confused me about it is it's such a mismatch of stuff, because it's got like the gun bit, but then it does a bit that does like petrol forecourts, all sort of signage and all sorts of weird, you know, stuff like that on petrol forecourts. And I think they also do petrol forecourt software or something. I'm not quite sure. But so it's a weird mismatch of businesses. And when I tend to see that in a small cap, it quite often puts me off. I sort of prefer they were all defense or they were all, you know, whatever.
Yeah. It's almost like a little mini conglomerate, isn't it?
Yeah,
of different aspects of the businesses.
Well done, BB. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. Absolutely smashed it. So that's going to, I think it's his number two holding. So that's going to really, really help his portfolio perform.
Oh, awesome.
The last thing I want to talk about here, and I want to mention to people, some of you already know that I'm doing another podcast on a regular basis called the Investing Matters podcast. and you can just shout that into your personal speaker or look it up on the various channels that you use. And I've interviewed some significant people over the past year. The most recent ones, and the one that's gone out this week on the Wednesday, was with a lady who's been in the business for 20 plus odd years, 26 years, I think, called Amanda Sillers. And she's an investment manager and ESG director at Jupiter Asset Management. She's a fantastic lady. So if you can, and you've got some time over Christmas, have a look at the Investing Matters podcast on whatever channel you use. And there's a really, really good interview with her that I've done. And prior to that, I didn't get a chance to mention this one. Everyone, I think lots of people on Twitter know this chap. It's called Steve Clapham, and he's the forensic accounting guy,
Steve,
who looks at all the different frauds and stuff.
He writes,
so there's a really good interview with Steve Clapham.
He writes in Investors Chronicle
occasionally.
He's done a really good article in the last one about what is a quality share. It's really worth reading, two-pager.
Yeah, and he's got a fantastic blockbuster book out as well. So check him out. And prior to that, we had Phil O'Sullivan. Sorry, I'll give you the proper name for the book. The Smart Money Method is the book that Steve Clapham's done. So that's a really good present. Yeah. If no one's ordered the present yet for themselves, go on to Amazon and order The Smart Money Method by Steve Clapham. And then you've got, before that? I think it was Philip O'Sullivan prior to that we had. So check out Philip O'Sullivan's one as well. And there's so much high quality investors that have come on the show so far, including the former CEO of Micro Focus and Sage, Stephen Kelly. And I've got some more interesting ones coming next year. So I just wanted to give you guys some choices of things to listen to over the Christmas. That's enough strobes going on now. People don't get a seizure.
Yeah, of all that dreadful Christmas TV twaddle that's going to be on.
Absolutely.
I think a few Investing Matters podcasts would probably be a good idea. You can get them on YouTube so you can pretend you're watching the telly.
Absolutely, mate. Just put your little private headphones in and just zone
out. You're eating your Christmas pudding and tucking off some more mince pie.
Well, no, Pete, you're the Christmas pudding monster. I'm the mince pie guy.
I love Christmas pudding, man. Yeah. Best thing ever.
I've got to tell everyone this, right? If you get a chance, you know, I know you don't want to go shopping, but my favourite mince... I've already eaten about 60, so when you guys see me in the new year rolling around the place, you wonder why. But there is a Sainsbury's Finest, right? And it's got cherries. It's got coconut and morello, I think it is. I'd run out here and get the box now, but I don't leave Pete on his own. But there is a box of mince pies that are just absolutely lush. And I have two at each time, but they only come in a box of four. So there's like a box gone every single day. I'm just nipping out, and I have to go in the car because the nearest Sainsbury's is like 6 miles away. And I go in, and it's just two people that work in this little small Sainsbury's.
By 10 and boxes.
I'm coming out, and they're going, I'm sure that guy was here last week. What's he actually doing? Is he reselling these boxes? I'm going, arr, arr, arr.
Yeah, he's reselling them in a coffee shop or something.
Oh, mate, but they're absolutely lush.
Oh, mate.
So here's a trick. Do you warm
them? Do you warm them in the microwave?
I'm going to tell you my secret sauce here for everybody, right?
Even
if it's just ordinary mince pies, right? And anyone that says this is sacrilege, just try it, okay? So depending on how gluttonous you are, I always have two, but just try this with one mince pie. One mince pie, 15 seconds in the microwave. One scoop of vanilla ice cream and a drizzling of Bailey's. Ooh. And eat.
And you're having that with everyone?
Mate, listen, I had one before I left out today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, just the one because I was going off. Oh. And then tonight, it's now getting to 9 o'clock. I'll be having two more before I go to bed. Guaranteed.
Oh man, there is
right. So ladies and gents, we're going to call this a wrap. Pete, have you got anything to say before we go on this one? Because this is the Christmas one.
I was going to recommend a Christmas pudding. All I'm going to say is thanks everyone for listening this year, and thanks for all your thanks, and thanks for the charity donations and whatever. Yeah, thank you. And this will probably go out after Christmas, so I hope you had a damn good Christmas, and I hope you have a very good New Year, and I hope you have a brilliant 2023, way better than 2022, which has been rubbish.
My sentiments exactly. Bring the joy, bring the love, spend as much time as you possibly can with your loved ones. None of us are blessed with eternity, so just cherish the people you've got and spend as much quality time with them while you've got them here. And if you can do anything for anybody anywhere, they don't even need to know that you're doing it. Just spread a bit of love, spread a bit of kindness, and look out. Check in on your neighbors as well. There's only some little old dears, you know, on their own this Christmas. Just pop in, have a knock on the window, check they're all right, take them a little something, and just cheer them up, say hello. You know what I mean?
They might have some nice mince pies, mate. You never know.
Yeah. are you asking me to share my mince pies, Pete? I'll buy some extra ones and share them. Yeah? But yeah, thank you everyone that's been supporting us through this year and previous years as well. We'll look forward to seeing you in 2023. Hopefully Pete will be in better health and we'll be able to see you guys and ladies and gents face to face. Please look after yourselves. Please have a wonderful time. If you're having a non-alcoholic Christmas, have a fantastic Christmas. If you're having a alcoholic Christmas, I'll be joining you having an alcoholic Christmas, and have a wonderful time. Just stay healthy and share the love, people. And thanks again for supporting the two charities we supported. And we'll go again in 2023. Take care. God bless. Love you all.
Cheers.